Let's just pray. Father God, thank you so much. What a great truth. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, Lord. Maybe there's someone here who doesn't know that truth in their own heart. Lord, I pray today you'd reveal who Jesus is to those people. Lord, open the eyes of the blind today. And may we be just filled with wonder and awe as once again we think about this event that we're so familiar with. Lord, help us not to just, as I said earlier, as I pray, Lord, may it really powerfully speak to our hearts once again today that he's alive, and because he lives, we can live also. Lord, just we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the fact we've been able to bring an offering to you. Lord, we pray you take that and use that for your glory. And Lord, we thank you for your offering for us, which is a game changer in our lives. Lord, just help us now as we think about the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's what you meant to say. He is risen. There you go. I'm trying to stop you getting too comfortable, because that's the problem, isn't it? When you come into a church service, I'm speaking personally, maybe I'm the only one who's like this, and you sing the songs, and you get to the sermon, it's like, right, I'm going to get comfy, get into my favorite position. You know, some of us, we shuffle down a bit, and we close our eyes. We look like we're meditating in prayer, but we're not really. We just had a late night. It's too exciting. Easter Sunday is too exciting. He's risen. It's one of the most glorious days as a Christian, I think, that you can experience and celebrate. I read it, you probably know this quote, Christmas is the promise, Easter is the proof. And that's true. You know, the angels declared to those shepherds in the field, great news of great joy for all the people. The Savior is coming. And then the Lord Jesus was born. It's like, why is that good news? Well, God made a way for us to be forgiven in Christ. He made a way for us by sending his son who lived that perfect life. And today and on Friday we thought about how he went to the cross. He never sinned. Not one sin. And how he suffered and died in our place. And I'm so glad we have Easter Sunday. I'm so glad we have this day that reminds us that he didn't stay in the grave. That actually the grave couldn't hold him. And it's good news if you know and love him. And it's good news if you don't. Because God is still waiting to forgive. He's longing for us to turn from our sin if we never have. And put our trust in him. And if you're not a Christian here today, and by that I don't mean churchgoer. I mean if you are not born again. If you've never got to that place in your life, a moment in your life where you've cried out to God for mercy and said, Lord, please forgive me. Come into my life. Save me. I implore you to do it today. And the great news, the wonderful news is if you cry out to God for mercy and grace, he'll give it. He'll give it. He never, ever refuses that prayer. He's risen. A little boy and his dad were driving down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon when suddenly a bumblebee flew into the car. Maybe you've had this experience. It's never a great experience, is it, when there's a bee or a wasp in the car. My older brother once was on his moped and a bee flew into his crash helmet and got lodged in his ear. Can't think of much worse than that. And he's swerving all over the road. Eventually he came to a stop and he got stung in his ear, which was quite painful. But there was this bumblebee in the car, and this little boy, he was allergic to bee stings. In fact, if he got stung by a bee, that would be it. That was not a joke there. That would be it. No, it wasn't. It would kill him. So he started to become petrified, as you would do. At this point, his father, seeing the danger, he quickly reached out and he grabbed the bee in his hands and he squeezed it and then he released. But as soon as he let go, the bee started flying around again. And his son became frantic as it was buzzing around him and by now really angry. The father sensed his son's terror. Once again, he reached out his hand, but this time, instead of grabbing the bee, he opened up his hand and he pointed to his palm. There, stuck in his skin, was the stinger of the bee. And he said to his son, he said, son, you see this? You don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you. Why is Easter Sunday such good news? Well, it's great news because for the Christian, the sting is gone. The sting of sin, the sting of death, the sting of the grave has been removed forever. We rejoice this morning because Jesus reaches out his palms to us in our fear and in our anxiety and in the worries and the cares of life, and he displays to us not a bee sting, but the scars of Calvary, the scars of the cross, and it reminds us that we don't need to be afraid anymore. I love 1 Corinthians 15. Matt Mayer, by the way, if you get a chance to YouTube, Matt Mayer has an amazing song based around this Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul reminds us, he says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse. And this morning, if we're trusting in that Savior, we have the victory. This morning, you know, we haven't come this morning to dwell on the death of Jesus. Not the nails that pierced his hands and his feet, not the suffocation of a Roman cross, or the agony of abandonment from God, his Heavenly Father, not to think about or dwell on the jeering that he experienced, the mocking, the crown of thorns that they placed upon his brow. All of those things happen. All of those things are true. Jesus suffered in incredible ways. No, this morning we come to remember and celebrate this one incredible eternity-changing event that took place after the cross. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. He came back to life. And this morning we rejoice because of that. Because of that, there is a way that we can have hope. We can have certainty. We can have peace in this life and as our lives draw ever closer to the end. There's a way we can be restored to our holy God despite our sin, despite our failures, despite our many past mistakes. There's a way that we can be loved by God and, like Jesus, after we die, live again. And the message of the gospel is Jesus is that way. And it's all because of the empty tomb. So I want to ask you this morning, what difference does Easter make to you? Really, what difference does it make? Does it impact your life on a daily basis? Does it change everything? If we're Christian believers, you know, do we live in the light of the wonder of the truth of the resurrection? He arose, hallelujah, he arose. We sing it. It's great, isn't it? What a great thing to sing. There's hope. There's joy. There's wonder today as we behold the empty tomb. But is it the song in our hearts as we make our way through life? You know, that first Easter morning when Jesus appeared to his faithful followers, as we read in John's Gospel, on the evening, that first day of the week, all the disciples were together. They weren't where they should have been. They weren't at the empty tomb. They should have been eagerly awaiting Jesus, waiting outside the tomb, waiting for him to rise from the grave. After all, he told them, That was what he was going to do. But we don't find them there. Instead, we find them here sitting around a table, staring at each other, the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And then it's at that moment when they're feeling helpless, when they're feeling lost, when they're feeling like there is no hope, that Jesus comes in amongst them. Something astounding happens. They're thinking, he's dead. All is lost. And as they're talking right there and amongst them, the Lord appears to them from nowhere. And you have to be on the same page here. They know Jesus died. There's no doubt about it. They weren't thinking, well, maybe he survived. So many people saw Jesus die. And yet here he was. Not a ghost, not an apparition, not a figment of their imaginations. The risen Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the great Redeemer, the Lamb that was slain, the Lion of Judah, the Light of the World, the Morning Star, the Bread of Life, the same Jesus who days before had been nailed to the cross and bled and died, the same Jesus whose blood had soaked the ground, the same Jesus that cried from that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The same Jesus who'd been buried in the tomb came in and actually stood amongst them. and spoke the words, "Peace be with you." And you know, as he's speaking to them, what was going through their minds? They're amazed. They see him. I bet they see his hands, see the light shining through where the nails went. There's no doubt it's him. But it's too marvelous. It's too wonderful. It's too miraculous. "Peace be with you," he says. The Bible says after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord again. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then you get to verse 20 and you read this. "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written." What we've just read, "these are written that you," whoever you are, "may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." You see, it really happened. But maybe you're thinking this morning, why does that matter? Why does it matter that Jesus rose from the grave? Why does it matter he died on the cross for sin? Why do I need to know any of this? Well, John tells us these things are written down. God has given us his word, his message to us, that you and I might believe and that you and I this morning might have life in his name, because without trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no life. We're spiritual corpses, just making our way through life toward a lost eternity. Jesus came to bring us life, eternal life, abundant life. He came that our lives might be radically changed forever. And this morning, I just want to bring three very brief ways that the resurrected Jesus has changed my life and changed the life of every Christian in this building and changed the life of every believer in this world. First of all, because he lives, I have peace. You have peace? Do you have peace? Like real peace? I don't mean peace and quiet. If you've met my two sons, you'll know I don't always have that. Peace and quiet. I mean deep down assurance that whatever happens, whatever tomorrow brings, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, that God actually, he knows what he's doing with my life, and I trust him, and this life is only temporary, and one day I'm going to be in heaven, and God's got my whole life planned, and I don't need to worry about a thing. Do you have that kind of peace? When Jesus appeared to the disciples that first Easter Sunday, the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you," verse 19. Because he knew that without him, that was the one thing they would never have. This peace, it's more than just a calmness. It's actually the Hebrew word shalom. It means completeness, serenity, harmony of life. And at the very center of this peace is peace with God. Reconciliation with the one who breathed life into the universe. That's what was happening at the cross. Jesus says in John 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you." Verse 27, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We live in a world that's full of trouble, don't we? We live in a world that's full of fear and unanswered questions. And sometimes we can be left very, very anxious, shuddering in the corner of life, wondering, when is this going to end? But this morning, the Bible says we can have peace if our hope and our trust is in Jesus, because the tomb is empty, because Jesus rose again. It's possible to have that peace with God, not just now in our lives, but also into eternity. But it's not something we can get ourselves. It only comes when we're in a relationship to him. So do you have peace? Do you have it? Do you know it? Do you experience it? Do you rest in it? When God made mankind, Adam and Eve, he gave them the Garden of Eden. I often wonder how would the Garden of Eden look? I bet it was stunning. I bet it was beautiful. They had perfect peace in a perfect paradise. God came and he walked with them and he talked with them. But then sin came into the world and humanity was alienated from God. That wonderful peace that they had enjoyed suddenly gets shattered. The earth, the animals, mankind, the whole universe was cursed. And now we live in an imperfect world where peace doesn't reign. And maybe you've noticed that. Every one of us, since that point, has sinned. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And our sin has put a division between us and God. And you know, no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, regardless of how sincere we are, regardless of how we try to clean ourselves up by living good lives, we always fall short. And those shortcomings result in everlasting death and judgment. That's hell, not heaven, in case you don't know. That's fantastic news, isn't it? Well, no, not really. It's terrible news. But there is good news. No, actually, there's great news. The good news that we celebrate today is that though our sin separated us from God, God has made a way for us to have peace with Him. We can't deal with our sin ourselves. And so in order to be restored to God and have that relationship that was broken by sin restored, it's up to Him to find a way. And He found a way. That's why Jesus came. You know, Jesus utters the most famous words, I think, in the whole of the Bible. And as He does, the schemes of the devil are instantly shattered forever. Because in the words of John 3:16, we have the beating heart of God revealed to us like a sunrise. John 3:16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Should not perish. Should not face the consequences of our sin. That's where you're headed if you're not a Christian. Jesus died on the cross to make a way for you and I to be forgiven. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins we can never pay. His shed blood is the only way for us out of this mess. He rose from the grave to bring us to a place of peace with God. Because He lives, you can have a relationship with the creator of the whole universe. You can know Him personally. You can talk to Him. You can cry out to Him in whatever state you find yourself in today and ask Him for forgiveness and receive it. You can lean on Him in times of trouble. You can go through life with Him and experience His love and His grace and compassion and mercy. And one day when you face your death, as all of us must do, unless the Lord comes again before then, you can face that with peace and joy and certainty, knowing that your next moment is going to be in paradise. It's the thief on the cross, isn't it? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, Jesus says, you'll be with me in paradise. Do you know that certainty? You can have peace with God. That's great news. No condemnation. Now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. But there's more. There's more. Because He's risen. Because the grave couldn't contain Him. You can have a purpose in life. You know, so many people go through life with no purpose. So many people go through life just going, well, what's the point? What's the point? You're born. You struggle, you work, you end up in pain at some point, then you die. What's the point? Is that what life's all about? No. Look at what Jesus tells His disciples, verse 21. He says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." What's that? That's purpose. Suicide rates are spiraling out of control. Just a couple of weeks ago, somebody drove their car into the Orwell Bridge and jumped off. Why'd they do that? Because they have no hope. Because we live in a world where we're told there's no meaning to your life. There's no purpose. There's no reason for your existence. You're an accident. You're a cosmic accident. There's no reason for you being here. You're just a result of scientific chance. Don't believe that. Don't believe that for a second. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what your heart and my heart tells us. You're not here by chance. Your life's not an accident. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're here because God made you in His image. God has a plan for you and a purpose for your life, which gloriously unfolds when you place your life into His hands. Jesus said, "I'm sending you." Where was He sending them? Well, He was sending them everywhere. In other words, they were going to become ambassadors for Christ. Their mission was to spread the word about the cross and the empty tomb, to share that message, that good news of great joy for all the people. They would use their love, their lives, their lips to testify about the power of the cross and the promise of eternal life. They would get beside people and say, listen, there is a point to your life. Your life is not an accident. You're heading for judgment. There's a way out from it. Jesus came to bring it. He died. He rose again. And if you put your trust in him, not yourself, he'll forgive every wrong thing you've ever done and take you to glory. Don't you want that? Don't you need that? Some point in your life, you have to ask yourself, where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? What's the reason for my existence? Because of Jesus, I know why I exist. I know what I'm supposed to do with my time on earth. Because he lives, because he's risen, my life has a purpose. Does yours? And because he lives, finally, I have a promise. I have a guarantee. What's your guarantee? You know, I occasionally buy shirts from Charles Tirrett when they have a sale and they send me vouchers and they do free postage. I have to wait quite a long time for those three things to come together. But they have an amazing guarantee at Charles Tirrett. If you're looking for a smart dress shirt, go to Charles Tirrett. I'm not on commission, I promise. But if you buy a shirt from them in the first 6 months, if you're not happy with it, you can wear it as many times as you want. You can wash it as many times as you want. If you're not happy with it, you can send it back. And they'll either replace it or they'll give you your money back. That's a great deal, right? What a great guarantee. Well, this one's better. This one's way better. At the end of this encounter with the risen Christ, look at verse 31. Look what John tells them. He says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. How do I get to heaven? How do I know eternal life? How do I escape the wage of sin, which is death? How do I escape judgment when I die? Jesus says, easy. John says, easy. Believe today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray to God. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to come into your life and save you, and he will. He promises he will. He'll give you a new heart, a new life, and one day take you to heaven. All through his ministry, Jesus promised that. Life everlasting. Life eternal to those who put their trust in him. On one occasion, Michelangelo, the great artist, was in a gallery. And he turned to one of his fellow artists, really annoyed, and said to him, why do you do that? Why do you keep filling up this gallery after gallery with endless pictures on the one theme of Christ in weakness? Christ on the cross, and most of all, hanging dead. Why do you do that? Why do you concentrate on that passing episode as if it were the last work, as if the curtain dropped on him with disaster and defeat? That dreadful scene, he said, that lasted a few hours, but to the unending eternity, Christ is alive. The stone has been rolled away, and he rules, and he reigns, and he triumphs. He's risen. Do you believe it? He's risen. And because he's risen, the grave has no power over us if our trust is in him. He's risen. And because he's risen, eternal life is our present possession. Because he's risen, you never have to take a step alone in this world. Because he's risen, there's hope. There's help. There's a home awaiting for us in eternity. Because he's risen, if our trust is in him, all of our sins, and I mean every single last one you've ever committed, has been removed as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? There's no distance. That's an infinite distance. Because of his outstretched arms, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God is our Father. Because he's risen, sin no more has dominion over us. We're saved now and forever. And you know what kind of guarantee that is? The Bible says, none shall pluck thee from his hand. Praise the mighty name of Jesus today, because he's risen. Tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope, triumphant say, Christ will rise on Easter Day. I wish you a very happy Easter, Christ-filled Easter, filled with the wonder of this glorious truth that will never be extinguished. Christ is risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the good news of the empty tomb. May it thrill our hearts. May it fill up our hearts with thanksgiving and wonder today as we remember the great victory of Calvary. Lord, impress it upon us and lift our eyes to the risen Lord in faith and hope and joy. Amen.